What I'm going to share with you today is an incredible mystery. It's taken 30-something years to understand this. It's not all bad. It's not as bad as it seems. Amen. You're going to like this by the end of the service. You might not like it in the middle. Might not like it in the beginning. By the end, you're going to like it. I'm going to tell you right now, this message belongs to the joint heirs. It's a joint heir message. There's no doubt about it. If you're going to rule and reign with him in the last hour, you're going to have to understand this. You'll have to understand this realm. You're going to have to understand the realms of God. Because the higher you get in the glory of God, the more potent the presence and the glory of God is going to get around you. And the more powerful, more effective you're going to be in the earth. Our effectiveness is not going to be from human sufficiency in this hour. That whole operation is going by the wayside. The glory of God is going to manifest again. And the manifested sons and daughter of God are going to walk into the earth. The whole creation's groaning, waiting for the manifested last day sons of God. The heirs of God are going to walk the earth. I promise you, Paul would change places with you just like that. Because there's nothing like what's going to happen in this generation. But to do this, the kind of glory that will rest upon us, it will immediately provoke things. The word of God that you carry will provoke things. The level of word that you carry will provoke the enemy. You won't get nearly provoked if you go to milk. When you start eating meat, it'll provoke, even though you haven't even come into a demonstration or a manifestation of the word you carry. It doesn't matter. The enemy comes immediately for the word because he understands the level of meat. When it comes at that level, it's going to produce something if it's heard, if it's received, if it's understood, and if it's kept. Those four operations have to be there. It has to be heard, understood, received, and kept. Not just the word of knowledge, it's the word of the kingdom. But when the word of the kingdom is present, and the word of kingdom is properly kept, it's going to provoke things everywhere. And you'll have to learn to deal with those things. And there's a way to deal with things in this life. And if we deal correctly, God is actually wanting a corporate operation. If we as a body can deal with the things that I'm going to share with you today, and we can understand it and operate in it, you're going to see God trust a body with a manifest presence of the Father. Even Kevin Zadai was saying it. I heard him say, he goes, listen, this last day is going to be the ministry of the Father. Everything about what God's doing is the ministry of the Father. There are things right now going on, culminating right now, waiting 35 years for the culmination of these mysteries to bring forth the creative realm of the Father. There is the creative realm of the Father that's coming. I mean, it's culminating. You may not see it yet. But I tell you, you're going to see it a long time before you see it. I mean, you're going to live it, dwell in it, perambulate in it. But that's not my message. I could easily slip over there today. I need to share this with you. It's a great mystery what I'm going to tell you today. And whatever you think these scriptures mean and the balance of operating, I want you to put it on a shelf. And then when the Lord started sharing this mystery and dropping it into me, I turned on God TV and they had a couple of nuns on there and they were talking and they were talking about sufferings. They live a whole life of self-suffering, and that's awesome. But they were saying things that everyone was clapping and applauding, and they said, you know, you'll get closer to Christ if you'll learn to suffer with him. I'll say it like this. What you do with your sufferings will get you closer to God. Suffering alone will not promise you a closer relationship with God. That's not where the union is. There is a purpose for it. There is a reason for it. It's not what you might think. God is not just in for us suffering. But you live in a realm here that is controlled by the enemy. He has a legal lease to operate here. There's demonic forces here. There's demonic strong men. There's demonic strongholds. There's demonic people. You're seeing them come to another level now. in this nation. You are living in a realm that operate, but there's another realm that can supersede this one. But when you're on the front lines here, and the higher you get and the deeper you get, these things will have to come into play, because you're going to start encountering things and situations and people that's not normal. It's going to become very abnormal, very fast. It'll shift on a dime, boom. All of a sudden, you're in the midst of a situation and how you're dealing with it. Because when you're dealing in the realms of the glory of God, you have to keep an open line. It's not like dealing with the anointing. I don't know if I'm going to be able to explain that to all of you, but a lot of you will understand. There's a difference between being anointed of God and operating in the glory of God. In anointing of God, you can have a gift, and you can have all kinds of stuff operating in your life, but that gift will still flow. It'll stay with you. It'll move through you. It'll be with you, and people will get touched and ministered, and it's not God's validation on your walk with Him. God's not validating you because the gift will bypass all your issues and still function. That's what people don't understand. How could this happen when such a gift is prevalent? Because the gift and callings without repentance, it can keep going. Now, eventually that stuff can catch up to you, right? But in the glory realm is different. You don't get to do what you want in the glory realm. You don't get to make the choice, because the glory realm is going to confront everything about you and everything around you. The enemy will confront it. God will confront it. The light will confront it. You get confronted all the time. It's not suddenly, man, you can do all this. Now everything is being confronted. And in the glory realm requires, because everything comes from the position of union, your whole life depends on what's coming out of that position of union. Not just the virtue and the strength and the might and the glory, but your breakthrough and this whole creative realm we're talking about that's going to come upon this earth like nothing we've ever seen comes from that union. It will not bypass you. It's not going to drop out here. If it drops out here, it's a miracle. If it drops, it's a gift. If it comes through, it's going to move through you. The kingdom of God is within you. When he said, behold, the king cometh not by ocular evidence. The kingdom cometh from within. It's going to come out of you. And there's a whole lot of dynamics to get this kingdom. The Lord's, you have to understand, he's in a full-blown 100-fold mantle talking to you about how a 100-fold mantle works, when we have no idea even the basis of where he was coming from until we get to dwell where he dwelt. Amen. Now, with all of that said, I want to move into this revelation. Because when I heard them talking, I'm like, Lord, that's not it. They're not going to find you like this. He goes, I know they're not, and you're going to have, I want you to speak this, because I'm going to take this message far beyond the house. I'm going to take this to the world. All right, let's talk about what we're not called to suffer before we talk about what we are called to suffer from. Listen, it doesn't matter what you think, what you've been taught. It matters what the Word of God says. You are not called to suffer. You're not called to suffer from sickness, infirmity, disease. I don't care what you say. I don't care what doctrine you possess. If Jesus bore that, God's not calling you to bear it. He already died the penalty of every sickness, every disease, and every infirmity on the face of the earth. He didn't call it. He doesn't allow it. It's not operational. You live in a world where that stuff is operational. There's a lot of factors involved of why things happen. But God is not authoring sickness, disease, or infirmity to teach you anything. He does not think like that. He doesn't operate like that. You as a father would not author sickness, disease on your children to teach them anything. Why would the father? He does not teach you anything. He already dealt with it. Why does he allow? He's not allowing. You're in a world. You're living in a world that has that stuff in it. God has solutions to all of it. Those solutions are found in his mysteries and his glory realm, which we're finding out how this works now. And won't be long, you're going to see the fruit of this glorious promised land. How do you know that? Because it's right here, and it's already shifting down into the earth now. The whole thing is dropping down in now. More about that later. You're not called. You're not. You can say amen. Say amen. If you start embracing thoughts like that, you'll give the enemy power. Listen, if you really understood how legally he set you free, he legally, listen to this, your spirit underwent a complete 100% transformation. But legally, your soul and legally your body has been raised from the dead. Do you know legally your body died? And legally your soul died with Christ? And legally you're in a state of quasi-resurrection. Legally, say legally. Positionally. Now you're going to have to appropriate and find that position because you got stuff working. If you don't know how to get the cord cut off, things work and they move through. Law of sin and death produces sickness, disease, infirmity. It produces poverty, debt, lack. All of these things we're not called to suffer from. Poverty teaches you nothing. There's nothing that can be gained from poverty. If you embrace those thoughts that God His allowing us to teach you something, you don't know him very well. That's not the way he thinks. He's not like that. He doesn't teach us things like that. He redeems you from it. Jesus, his son, was allowed to be stripped naked in front of all humanity and be laid on a cross. He suffered poverty to the nth degree. He took literally the spirit of poverty upon himself. And he died under the penalty of it. He became our poverty. He did. He became sickness and disease. If he legally did that, Father's not reassigning you to suffer under these things. Now you will battle with these things, but God's not authoring it. Now that's as far as I want to go with that part. I could keep going with that and get into all kinds of stuff, but I need to get into this other. What is he actually calling us to do, and why is he calling us to do it? And what is his remedy for it? Amen. And if you get what I'm about to say to you, it's going to set you free. If you don't get it, you're going to walk around like a victim. Or you're going to walk around angry and hurt and abused. Galatians 6:2, bear you one another's burdens, fulfill the law of Christ. I want to read some scriptures we don't like to read, especially when we're talking about joint heirship, dominion, you know, white horse going valiantly, and then all of a sudden, where does sufferings come around with that? I mean, that doesn't really fit. The Lord said, they actually fit very well. And I'm like, really? And he said, let me share with you, and he started unloading this. Because it's very easy to get in that suffering thing. You can get into it. There's no end to it, by the way. There's no end to it. You start wearing badges of how much you're going through. Well, how much you go through this week? Well, let me tell you what I went through. Well, you have no idea. And then all of a sudden you said, God sure is going to bless me because all this stuff I'm going through. I'm in line for a blessing because all the suffering I'm going through. We still don't get it yet. Your sufferings have nothing to do with the blessings because the blessings have already been completed. If anything, your sufferings can block you from receiving if you don't know what to do with them. You are called to suffer, but you are only called to suffer temporarily. What you do with it will determine whether you become an overcomer more than a conqueror, always triumphing Christ, or walk around with a victim mentality. Amen? I don't have to suffer. I do, but I don't have to suffer very long. I do have to suffer. You're going to take hits being on the front line. You're going to take some stuff. God's going to ask you to swallow some stuff. Let's read a few verses and see what he has to say about it. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. This is thankworthy. See, this probably you start reading this from a one-sided jurisdiction. This stuff will hurt you. It'll mess you up. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those that persecute you. If Pastor Chuck smites you on the cheek, give him the other one to smite. I don't know anybody that would get smite on the cheek, just turn around, well, here's my other one. You want my right side or the left side? That all sounds good, but how do you actually do that? He takes your coat, hey, well, come on in my closet and see what else you got. You cannot operate like that if you don't operate in the heavenly realm. Because if you, all you do is your Christianity is this earthly realm operation, you'll fail every time operating like that. You won't make it because you won't have the kind of glory that will shift anything and everything that the enemy or people will do to you. If a man for conscience toward God endures grief, suffering wrongfully, what glory is it if you be buffeted for your faults and you take it patiently? He says, if you're at fault and you're getting buffeted for it and you're taking it patiently, I mean, people get fault. I mean, I was at fault. I would get buffeted for my faults, and I didn't even like getting buffeted for my faults. He says, but you take it patiently, you're doing well. But here, look at Paul. I mean, let's go to the extra level. Come on, let's go to the next level, like a glutton for punishment kind of thing. But even thereunto you're called, say you're called. Oh, you said that. I didn't say that. I just said say that, but that's what the word said. He said, you're called. He goes, because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow. I don't know if I've ever taught on suffering except when I was fasting before. Who did no sin, neither guile was found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. And watch this. Committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. See, if you do well and suffer for it, take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. In other words, if you're not at fault and you're getting slandered, you do well. So every one of us, we're going to go out there and make a noble display in the flesh out there how well we can handle all the stuff out there. How long you think you're going to last? Not very long, because here's what's going to happen. Here's the cycle. Because we take scriptures like that and we operate in one dimension. Because we haven't got up in the dimension where the glory's at. And all the good stuff, some incredible, unlimited realm of God. We're here. We're always operating. That's what's wrong with our Christianity. We're always here. Here's what happened. So Chuck comes and he smites me on the cheek. So here you go. You offer the other cheek. Man, I'm telling you. If you want to learn how to suffer for the Lord, just pastor for a while. You're going to encounter things that are not fair. You will encounter in this life absolute injustice. Some things you did called for it, and some things you did nothing. And there is something in you that wants justice. This is not fair. It's not fair. You're going to be treated unfair. You're going to be in unfair situations. You're going to be loved one day, hated another day. Even if you did nothing wrong, the devil can jump on somebody and let you know just what he thinks about you. How many has that ever happened to you? And they'll give you a piece of their mind, which is not their mind. It's a spirit. You'll encounter unjust situations. How you handle that? If you handle that in a one-dimension Christianity, you won't last long. Because here's what's going to happen. Well, I'm just called to bless you and release, so I forgive you. I let it go. I forgive. Amen. And then you start calling somebody. All you got to do in this life is call somebody that loves you, and they'll come to bat for you. When I'm in a situation, I don't call the person who's going to tell me what I want to hear. When I get overloaded, you know who I call? Chuck, because he's not always going to tell me what I want to hear. I may not like what he's telling me, but he's not going to tell me what I want to hear. He's not going to pet me. He's going to give me truth according to where I am walking. He's not going to fill me with pity, and he's not going to let me go with pity very long. He might let you, but he don't let me. I'm like, I really didn't want that, but amen. Here's what happens. You keep operating like that, turn the other cheek, receiving. Sometime God will tell you, embrace that. Let that go. Swallow that right there. Don't revile back. Don't return insult for insult. Some things you say, let it go. But God, that is an injustice. Absolutely said, let it go.
I have to swallow that. He says, yes, swallow it. And I'm swallowing, I'm walking around bitter. I just swallowed a bitter circumstance. It's stinging on the inside. How many of you have been stung? And I'm walking around stung, and I'm like this stung. How often are you going to do that until you become a bitter pool yourself in the name of walking in love? Because after a while, you're only going to get to do that so often. That's why ministers, they get broken along the way, and if they get broken enough, they'll separate from you. They're going to separate from the flock because they can't handle the pain coming out from the sheep. After a while, it's so painful that all they can really do is get up, give you the word, and disappear. That's the way they process. It's the reason because they're dealing with stuff all the time. When you get on front lines, you're dealing in the realm all the time. It never stops. It's just constant. It's like, after a while, nothing surprises you. Let me know what I'm talking about. Paint a pretty bleak picture here, right? Suffer for the Lord. Those are the sufferings you are called to embrace. Sometimes God will say, quench that right there. Because if you don't quench that, that's going to become a fire. You're going to swallow that. I'm like, God, I am swallowing a ball of fire right now. And it's burning a hole in me. He says, I understand that. He says, but I'm only asking you to suffer temporarily. Because I'm going to ask you now to take that and bring that to me. And if you know how to bring that to him, God will saw the injustice in the presence of God. That doesn't mean he's going to take up arms for you and launch a full-scale war against the person who hurt you. Most of the time, he's not going to do that. God doesn't sit there and play sides. What about vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. He'll repay. I'm glad that that scripture's on that page. Let's look at that. Romans 12. Love this. Verse 17. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, and sometime it is and sometime it ain't, as much as lieth in you. This is your part. Your part. Live peaceably with all men. All right? Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself. Defend not yourself. Boy, that's hard. That's hard for me. I'm learning. It's hard, especially if you're a defensive person. You want to avenge and defend, and boy, you're going to get plenty of opportunities if you're like that. You're going to get plenty of opportunities. Praise God. Avenge not, defend not, rather give place to wrath. Boy, that's a misunderstood scripture. For it is written, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I'll repay. So here we go. Got an issue with Chuck again. Lord, he is the guilty one. You said, vengeance is mine. So I forgive him, God. Now I will love him. That doesn't mean I have to like him. How many of you ever heard that? But I'll love him, but get him, God. You said vengeance is mine. He been messing with the wrong person. Don't you have any idea the gift of God that is standing before you this day? Don't mess with God's anointed. Because God will come. You know the problem with that verse? To this day, listen to me. And I've been at this a long time, longer than I want to know. I've never seen God go mow somebody down on my behalf to say, hallelujah. I told you not to mess with me. Because that's not what he's done about. He said, give play. Listen, somebody, you got a situation and there's anger. You need to give that thing place. What that means, don't give play, give it space. Put some distance. Don't go into that atmosphere. Don't walk into it. Because already it's probably sown its stuff. And I want you to just let go of that thing. Back off. And most of the time it's already sown its thing and it's already stung you like a bee.
and he wants to sting more, he says, listen, back off. Vengeance is mine. All right, he stung me like a bee then, God. You need to deal with that man. But I got stung, God. I let go of this thing. I want to go in. Boy, I used to go in. Boy, I could go in. Some of us, we get good at this kind of stuff. Mess, okay. Dukes up. Man, have you ever met a person that makes you sorry for even confronting them? Don't even do that again. They create a fear because they operate in control. How do you know that? I read that in a book somewhere. And that control produces a fear. Don't ever do that again. Usually it's genuinely protecting something inside there. But God said, let it go. But I'm stung. He said, vengeance is mine. All right. Well, when are you going to deal with him then? That's how we read that. Because I need some justification. I need justification. He says, you're not going to get that in the earth. Sometimes God, a lot of times, if you do this right, he'll come into both parties and heal it. Sometimes it's not going to be healed. He's not going to guarantee you that that whole thing with that person's going to be fixed. What he is going to guarantee, and now watch this, vengeance is mine. You are not at war with flesh and blood. But there is stuff behind that, because when a trespass gets sown, trespass is different than a little bit of unforgiveness. A little ought you can throw off. Trespasses, they have strong men behind them. They have spirits behind them. They study you, and when they sow it, they sting and sting hard, and it's meant to sow the hurt, sow the offense, sow the wound, sow the betrayal to where a spirit locks in the trespass. So you're so hurt and so wounded and so broken from it that it takes a lot to be freed, and a spirit locks in, see. So now it's not just you, it's a spirit there too. And it locks into the hurt and the pain. You've seen them, people walk around the hurt all the time. They can't even talk about the hurt and pain because it happened and you haven't gotten free. You're not going to be able to forgive that by just saying, Father, forgive them. That's not going to get unlocked like that. That's the one he said, forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. That's the Lord's Prayer. Wasn't be designed to pray here. That's going to have to be prayed there. He said, when you pray, enter in your closet, shut the door, go before the throne of grace. Because that's the only place something like that is going to get unlocked. Or sozo can unlock it. But if you're doing it personally, you're going to have to take it up to God and get into a power realm to deal with this. Because you're going to have to get unlocked. Because it was designed to shut you down. The whole stuff is designed to shut you down, right? But your vengeance belongs to me. I will repay. Well, then repay him because he hurt me. And when you get hurt, when your early days are getting hurt, you want to see some pain. But here's what God's promising. He's not going to go and slap Chuck around because he hurt you. Could you imagine God doing that with all of us? Every time we get hurt, well, which one is Gabriel? Which one is, come over here, Gabriel. Which one's guilty? I don't know. They're always doing this. So just slap him today and tomorrow slap him. Spank him. Many stripes for you. A few stripes for you, but you might get many tomorrow. So just watch it. Don't rejoice because I'm spanking him right now. Your turn's next because I'm the judge. And I will repay all your stuff. And I'm going to come into every one of your arguments. God said, no, no, no. What I'll do is I'll have my son stand in the midst of the controversy. Because whenever there was a controversy between any man, they would be brought before the law. That person that was guilty better have an elder that's your friend. The judge. Because those elders would judge who gets 39 stripes for a controversy. They would get whipped for a controversy under the law. Why did God so stringent? Because you had a dead nature. He was so stringent because he was trying to corral that evil because it was locked up in him. It was contention. But Jesus stood in the gap and said, I'll take the controversy. I'll take the sin. I'll take the trespass. My own familiar friend will betray me tonight. He'll lift his heel against me. I'll wash his feet before he does it. I'm going to wash his feet. I'm going to take your penalty. And because I'm going to take your penalty, I'm going to make a way of escape for you. For there's no temptation, testing, and trial common to man that I will not make a way of escape for you in this. Now, if you want to fight it, because if you want to get in there, get it. But what it's going to end up doing is plugging you up. And it's going to cause a lot of problems. Yes. Yeah, but God, you asked me to swallow this, and I'm stinging inside. I've got venom on the inside. I got their venom on the inside of me. He said, yeah, and I'm only asking you to do that for a moment in time. I'm not going to ask you to walk around like a victim, and I'm not going to ask you to walk around drinking everybody's cup out there. But what I am asking you to do is become skilled at unloading that. Because if you're going to walk on the front lines, that stuff's going to happen. And you're going to have to learn to do that. If you don't process it, it's going to get compacted. And you're going to go through another. And the strong, they can compact a lot. In the early days, you can compact it, shake it off, move on. Compact, shake it off, move on. Compact, shake it off, move on. Compact, shake it off, move on. But after a while, there's a room that gets overloaded. And then the enemy really goes to work when he starts overloading the room. Why? Because he's got it locked up in there. Now he wants to bring guardians in there, and he wants to bring all kinds of stuff in there, and he wants to really lock up a container of stuff in there. All because you went after revival and you're carrying this glorious word and the enemy's everywhere. And that's what happens when you carry meat like that, when you carry the realm of the glory, when you walk in the realm of the glory, it attracts stuff. And we have to learn to deal with this. If we can deal properly and understand, the Lord said, I am the justifier. I am the reconciler. He goes, I will reconcile your injustice. Well, then win, because I can't wait for you. Come on. He says, no, we don't do that here, my kingdom. I want you to follow peace, forgive. If you do not forgive what? From the heart. If you don't get it unlocked from the heart, I forgive you, but it's still down here. Forgiveness doesn't come from here. It doesn't come just from here. It comes from, and if a spirit locked it up, you're going to have to get the forgiveness, the unlocking, and get rid of the spirit. Unlocks the trespass, unlocks you. Kingdom of God flows again. Everything you want comes from the kingdom within. The enemy, everything he's doing, you think it's just because he doesn't like you. He is definitely afraid of what's working on the inside of you ever comes out. So he's constantly trying to plug your well. And he's good at it. And you're going to have to get good at what I'm talking to you about if you're going to walk in joint heirship. But to walk in joint heirship, I can take your pain. But God said, listen, I didn't call you to suffer your lifetime. You ever seen somebody get betrayed and 20 years later they're still carrying the betrayal? You ever seen somebody carrying the pain? It happens all the time. We carry the pain of our childhood. I carried my childhood for a long time. We don't know how to process it. We don't know what to do with it. It's all locked up in there. We didn't get rid of it. Now we have this thing called the right hand of God and the throne of grace and this place where the Jordan baptism, where he operates as the high priest of our confession, and we can bring this and he can unlock us and we can release the bitterness that we had to drink in the earth, because he said, swallow that for the sake of peace, let it go, but don't keep it. Bring it to me. We're very good sometime at phase one, but you're not going to last very long at phase one if you're drinking these things and not unloading them. I mean, you know what I'm talking about? I'm left field. If we don't know how to unload, we're going to get compacted. When we get compacted, the kingdom of God's going to get shut down. And that's what the enemy wants. Or we can get mature. Listen. First things first, when something like this happens, be careful who you call. Because all you got to do is call somebody you know will agree with you. You can go to town. Man, first of all, I just need you to pray for me. You know, we're not going to pray. We're going to talk for 15 minutes. Most of the time, how many of you have ever seen that kind of thing? I've done it, you know, so I'm sure you've done it maybe once. We're going to just talk. We're going to pray. I need you to pray for me. Well, what happened? 15 minutes later, ain't no prayer going on. But what happens is
It may have eased you, but it didn't fix the issue. Now, you can go on, but enough of these happen, things start compacting. You see what I'm saying? Sometimes God will ask you, I want you to bury that. I want you to take that. I don't want you calling nobody. Oh, we're not ready for that yet. I'm going to call Chuck. He's going to be so those good. Get it unloaded, whatever you need. However, if he's asking you to do, how many of you have ever been through anything like that just this year alone? Raise your hand. Look around. Now, if he's asking you to do that, he's not asking you to walk around like this all day long. He's only asking you to take that out from the jurisdiction of a body for the sake of wholeness, for the sake of unity, for the sake and the preservation of harmony. Just take that and bring it to me. It's kind of a reverse transference. And we're going to go bury that together. And we're going to bury the evil. We're going to bury the trespass. And listen, vengeance is mine. I'll have vengeance on the spirit that was behind that. And when I'm done, I'll so eradicate that from your heart. You'll come in one way and you'll come out full of victory and glory all in one day. One day I'm broken, the next day I'm full in the glory of God because he completely eradicated. That's the power of this realm. It doesn't happen here, it happens there. But that power can completely eradicate that evil. It can wash it down to the core where you're walking around in love and you see the person, all you can do is smile at them. Nothing's there. Or you can walk around and see the person, you see them and you avoid them in the store. Or, hi, how you doing? It's so awkward because I don't like you right now. And I know you don't like me right now. So let's just get over the formalities and say goodbye and hopefully we never see each other again. That's not wholeness. Nobody's winning that one except the enemy because you're carrying it. Now, if one of them's there, they all, like, they're like bees. They get attracted to each other. They see it on you. Why does hurting people get hurt all the time? You carry it. It's like a magnet. It's a magnet. They start seeing that. They're magnetically attracted. Demons are magnetically attracted to people that are hurting, wounded. And they start compounding it. They say, whoa, it's me. Why is all this happening? Because you are wearing it. And they see it and they love that kind of thing. Just like you wear the glory, all the angels and the favor and the glory of God get attracted to you. Because what you wear... In the spirit, you have to exchange your pain. If you don't exchange your pain, God's not going to be able to trust you with very much. You want him to, but he's not going to be able to. If we get very skilled at exchanging, sometimes it'll happen in a day. Sometimes if you're in the middle of it, you'll have to work with that thing. Keep it before the Lord. Keep releasing. Keep surrendering. Keep blessing. Keep praying. Keep releasing. Sometimes you're in a whole season, nothing's happened to you. I mean, everything's glorious and golden. All of a sudden, bam, 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 bam. You're strongman time. It's like, what happened? Time to exchange pain again. But if you exchange the pain, he says, listen, I am the vindicator. I am the justifier. I will take vengeance and I'll repay you for the evil. I'll repay. I'll give you an example. I'll take it in the financial realm. This happens in every realm out there. Let me give you one example realm. So I have these jet skis, right? And they spend more time in the shop than they do on the water, but praise God. So I get it out there. It's all glorious and engine blew. And so I said, all right, I bought them so expensive. Let's do an engine. Just bought an engine whole summer long. Put the engine in. I'm like, I get it out. Praise God. We're riding it. Get a whole day. It's awesome. We go out a second day. Victoria's on the water. Dad, it doesn't work. What's wrong with this? It's just dad, can you fix this so I can have fun? So I have to tow that thing and she goes, well, can I ride yours while you put that on the trailers?
He goes, that's a fine, Dad. I'll come back. Have fun. Praise God. So I get in the shower. He goes, oh, it's just same guy. He's been super nice until suddenly this strong man shows up that's everywhere all the time around us. Just, it's not a woe is me. It's a victorious thing, actually. This is what I'm trying to get to, the victory part of this. And he said, it's a relay switch, but I'm not going to be able to fix it for 2 weeks. I'm like, it's just a switch. Just put the switch on. You know. All of a sudden, he changes. He says, I said I'll be able to fix it in 2 weeks. I'm like, okay, thank you. And then I knew something was wrong. I called him. Okay, I got to pick it up. He said, he wouldn't call me back. Called him again. I called him, and he goes, well, it's not the relay switch. He says, got another blown piston. I'm like, you just put that engine in. He said, yeah, but you didn't put the right oil mixture in there. So this is not on me. I already knew the engine. I knew that's what it was. And I already knew that, okay, what are my options here? I would sue him. Depends on who you talk to, actually. You ever talk to somebody and get three different, if you want to know how to respond to something, ask somebody that's mature. Because sometimes your response will get you in more trouble. So I got options here. And the Lord said, I said, what do you want me to do? Because I already know this is going to be, because I got to go pick this up. And not only is he not going to do anything, he's going to tell me, he wants to charge me for some work he did on the other one. And I'm like, what do I do? He said, I want you to pay him for the other one and give him an extra $100. And I want you to tell him that I love him and that you're going to take this no further. And you're going to release him completely from it. And don't ask for anything. Don't ask him to do anything else. But tell him I love him. And for the sake of this situation, that we're not going to take this argument any further. And I'm going to release it and release him and resolve him of all responsibility. And pay him an extra $100 on top of what you owe him. I'm like, it's not exactly what I want to do, God. I actually want to talk to him. He goes, I know you do. But I'm asking you to swallow it. That's the word he used, swallow it. I'm like, you're asking me to swallow a cup. He said, you can handle it. I hadn't even done this, by the way, but I'm going to do this tomorrow. But I already swallowed it. I already did. I said, Anna, I've got to swallow this, and I got to give him $100 on top of what he's going to ask, and it's going to floor him because he's already expected me to come in with both guns loaded. In the old days, being a preacher, I still would have come in both guns loaded. But we're learning, amen? So now, vengeance is mine. I'll repay him. Walk away and let me have my turn. Have you ever seen him go, well, you just wait till my God shows up and what he'll do. See, we misrepresent him. No, my Father loves you. Look, you don't have time to do this. It's a mistake, but I've got a God that has an unlimited inheritance from me. And I know how to tap that now. And I'm learning full way how to tap it so I can bring the injustice, say injustice. And I can bring it, but I'm going to have to bring it to God. I have to forgive, release, loose from the heart, get to a position of love towards this man, and that the blood of Jesus swallow the injustice I swallowed. He goes, I'm only asking you to swallow so I can bring it to me, then I'll swallow it from you. He goes, because I can swallow a whole lot more than you can. Because I swallowed the sin of the earth. I can swallow your little issue. And when you're made perfectly whole, you can ask me to restore the $2,000 for that engine. Because I got a lot of $2,000 up here. But if you fight that, you're going to get nowhere with him, and you know you are. Well, I can sue him. You really want to do that over $2,000? I mean, really? For $2,000, we're going to go suing people? I can tell you right now, I'm going to come in there so loaded in the glory of God that action that I'm going to take with this man is going to stay with him for a very long time because God's going to lock that up into his heart. And that's all I care about. I don't need him to do anything back to me. I don't want anything back from him. I'm going there already knowing how I'm going to handle it, but I am going to get recompense from God. And he said, I will recompense. I'll repay and recompense you Vengeance is mine. I'm going to take vengeance over the pain that you were asked to swallow. That's my vengeance. You see the difference? You see that, yes, God's asking you to suffer, but is he asking me to carry the suffering into next week? And am I going to be talking about my jet skis a month from now? You know what that God did to me? No, he said, suffer the moment. Bring it to me and let us bury it together. And it'll be gone. Forgiven. Release. And as soon as I said yes, I went to him in prayer. And it took me 30 minutes to get the pain off. And it's not stinging anymore. Oh, death, where is your sting? It doesn't even sting. I can't wait to go give him $100 extra. And tell him, I got a jet ski, it doesn't work. God bless you. God loves you. He loves you. Because God doesn't reconcile this stuff in me. If you operate in a one jurisdiction, you'll never be able to operate like that. Because all you're going to do is walk away from things, but the pain will be with you. But if I have the other jurisdiction, and I know him, and I know how to reconcile that, then I can take that, and we'll bury it together. And he'll separate it as far as the east is from the west. And all I'll have is love and a right for recompense from his unlimited, because I did what he asked. In the battlefield of the earth, now I get the blessing out of the heavenly realm. And I have every right under heaven, once I've forgiven and loosed, to release and have all of it. He says, I will come in and I'll destroy the injustice. And then I'll bless you. See that? See how you just keep on blessing? That's how we function as heirs. Or you can operate the other way. And stay plugged up all the time. Now, there's a balance. You are called, but there's certain things. You're living in a home where there's violence. God's not going to sit there, oh, swallow the violence. Take another beating. God doesn't do that. He's not going to ask you to do that. If there's a situation with child support and you got a laid down ex-husband that won't do anything and your child suffering because he won't, you can get law involved legally under the blessing of God to get that fixed, because that's the only thing they'll listen to. There's certain balances in these things. You understand that? You got to work this out with God, right? But if you can learn to turn it, because most of the time we've learned over time how to handle the situation with somebody. At least forgive them, release it. But we haven't got our own stuff healed from swallowing it. And what happened is we're swallowing too many cups. And we get laden down with bearing someone's burden that you weren't supposed to only bear it for a very small time. He goes, I'm the only one qualified to bear everyone's sin, not you. I'm just asking you to carry it to me. And that's the only suffering I'm asking from you. Just take that and bring it to me. Yes, you'll feel the sting of it, but you'll feel the glory of it too. I'll set you free. When you learn this freedom and this glory and this glory, nothing anybody does to you is going to affect you, because God is going to come. If the enemy takes it, take it. It's not worth fighting for, because my father has a whole lot of $2,000 bills up there. He has jet skis. He has all kinds of stuff up there. But if I fight, I'm going to get plugged up. I'm not going to get nothing from him. And all I'm going to do is have this war with you. And where's that going to get us? Because right here is the most important thing I'll ever do. If I don't keep this realm, the creative realm is going to get plugged up. And when I did this, I don't know how to explain it. He opened my eyes to the spirit realm and all this stuff we've been going through. I saw the whole thing under this discernment. He said, none of this was about you. The enemy just made it about you. All of this was about what you're carrying. And it's about to come into the earth. And he's trying to stop what I gave you on June 29th. He's trying to stop it. Because you received a transference from heaven. You're carrying an open transference. And he's trying to take that. And that's what all this is about. Isn't that good? Whatever you bind, see, if I bind it on the earth, it's going to get bound in heaven. But if I loose it on the earth, guess what? I loose you, bring it to him, it'll get loosed in heaven. My heart gets loosed. I'll have no animosity to where I can just shake his hand in love. That's how love works. Because it's not our love we're operating in. Trust me, it wasn't my love. It's God's love working through us. Isn't that awesome? The glory. And then you can love your enemy. Then you can operate like he said you could operate because you have another jurisdiction to run to. You have this realm to get free and stay free with. And now, bigger picture and I'll close. Go to Philippians 3 while you're waiting. So, God says, balance. He goes, you know what I really want? He goes, I want to come and dwell with a body in the earth that understands how my kingdom works, that will not break the rank and allow the enemy to break the harmony. I want my people to understand if I come down like that, so will a host of demonic beings descend everywhere around them. He goes, but if you understand to operate like this, my glory will be with you. That you can sit there and exchange. No matter what happens, you can exchange it. Exchange it, exchange it. And you can live free. Because here's what happens with the realm of revival. If they're one dimensional, they'll get a revival anointing on them. And the enemy will come after that thing. And after a while, he just breaks the whole thing down. Why? It was an accumulated cup they were drinking from. And they weren't emptying the stuff they were drinking from. And it kept coming one after another, after another, after another. And it broke the thing down. It's because you can't just operate here. We've got to operate there. Oh, my friend, he'll set you free. I don't care what anybody does to you. There's a lot of it. We're seeing operating like this. Now, what will happen sometime when you operate like this, God will go and jump on them. And he'll turn their heart right around. And all of a sudden, they're under the influence, and suddenly they're not anymore. Suddenly, God broke the influence off all parties involved. It's resulted in harmony, and God's about to come and repay you for operating in this thing he calls his kingdom. Isn't that glorious? Why am I going to fight someone over $2,000 when I'm carrying a crown that's going to change the world? Why am I going to fight over anything? Why am I going to let anybody plug me up? Amen? It does sting, though. It hurts sometimes. I mean, people can be extremely hurtful. But God is so loving and so glorious and so powerful and so deep and so wide. The Lord loves to destroy injustice if you bring it to him properly. If you hold on it, he's not going to do it. But if you release it and represent, hold that person up, surrender them, bury the issue in the Jordan, come back, pray for them until the love starts flowing, the glory starts flowing, they're released, you're released. Now you're in line to go up and receive, receive, receive. See, how are you going to stop somebody like that? See how God wants us to operate? Time to come out of the sandbox. Time to start operating like heirs. It's okay to call somebody and say, man, I ain't taking a hit. I'm not feeling them. When you're first doing it, you got to process. But don't stay there like that. Don't stay in a place of self-pity. Don't stay in self-pity. Self-pity gets you nowhere in the kingdom of God. Unload it and reload it. Amen? Praise God. It's a little different slant on suffering, wouldn't you say? You see how he only is really calling you to suffer a moment. He's just asking you for the sake of the kingdom, for the sake of unity, for the sake of harmony, for the sake of that person's soul, for the sake of my kingdom operating in harmony in the body, swallow it, because you're big enough to swallow it. Right? Take it. Bring it to me, and I'll swallow it from you. Now, when you learn to do this, nothing anybody's going to do is going to hurt you anymore. Because it doesn't even matter if it does hurt. I'm going to take it. Isn't that glorious? I'm going to read this word and I'll close. Praise God. Yeah, vengeance belongeth to God. Man, he's good at settling it. He is good. He'll settle the score because his score is being settled in the spirit. God doesn't fight with people. He's always dealing in that other realm. Amen? Philippians 3. What things were gained to me, I've counted loss. Doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Man, reputation, he suffered the whole thing. He goes, I suffered the loss of all things and do count it but dung that I may win Christ. To be found in him, the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, because it doesn't matter what the enemy does, I can bring them into the fellowship of his sufferings. I'm going to enter in the fellowship of his sufferings. I'm going to bury that thing, and then I'm going to enter into the fellowship of his resurrection. We are not called to be victims to walk around suffering all the time, wearing suffering badges. That is not the armor or the clothing God's called us to wear. If you just suffer, you're going to get closer to God. No, you won't. You won't get closer to him. You will get closer to him when you're dwelling in the realm of his glory. You're only there to release that, to unlock it, and bury it in the fellowship of his sufferings, in his burial, that you may ascend into his glory and live in the realm of his light and live in the realm. And man, he is a justifier of injustice. He's got so much power up there. Man, your heart could be bleeding five ways and he'll bring justice to your heart. He'll take the injustice. He'll swallow it up and leave you in a place of love and glory and fullness. And man, will you do that? And you learn that process. And trust me, you're going to have plenty of opportunities. When you learn to get unlocked like that, you're ready. And God's ready to trust you. Now he can lean on you. Because he knows, no matter what the enemy's bringing, you're not going to wear it. Listen, God's not going to stick you out in the battleground that's going to destroy you just so he can go minister to 100 people out there. But in the meantime, it's going to destroy you. He's got to have you ready. And he's not asking us to be tough all the time. Just take it. He's asking you to embrace it and then exchange it. And that's the only thing he's asking. God's done the rest of it for us. Isn't that awesome? We are to be clothed in his glory. We are to be clothed in the armor of his light. And we are to be clothed in the freedom and the liberty and the love of Christ. And man, I'll tell you what, Anna and I have learned, and this last couple of weeks, how to bury stuff in a brand new way and getting free. And the glory of what we're carrying from the realm that is to come, wait till this stuff starts showing up. God is going to create a brand new day in the earth. And it's a day of not being creative with what he is. It's taking from a realm of the Father. And he's transferred that realm to us. And he's called us to carry that realm down into the earth. In the substance and the evidence and the dunamis and the living creative realm of the Father has been brought down in the earth. And the Lord's going to create a brand new day from it. A brand new glorious day. Thank you, Father. And there's nothing the enemy can do to stop it. Thank you, Father, for the victory. Thanks be unto God who always, say always, causes us to triumph. Always causes us to triumph. More than conquerors. Say more than conquerors. That's how you walk in dominion and sufferings at the same time. Some of we need to take off that old veil of victim sufferings. That is not what God's calling you to carry. All that is an improper transference. You have not fully released. And if you fully release your past and fully release those that have harmed you or fully release the trespasses and you get the freedom and the victory, you'll start wearing the joy, the freedom, the victory. You'll start wearing the image of Christ on you. And you'll be more than a conqueror. And you'll start seeing the blessing of God show up. And God will then start doing things for you. Isn't that awesome? He's our defender. He's the defender of my heart. Thank you, Father, for the glory. Let's all stand. Praise God.